The Immortal Man. Chapter 171. After getting off work, Hilda didn't hitch a ride home with Jared but hailed a taxi home by herself. What's wrong with her today? Jared murmured under his breath. He could sense her being listless the entire day, and she didn't speak to him either. Having driven home, he got changed, and Josephine came to pick him up. A luxurious car idling in front of the dilapidated neighborhood attracted plenty of attention in a blink of an eye. Who's this wealthy lady, and why is she here in our shabby neighborhood? Could it be that she has taken a fancy to one of the lads here? It's evident that she's filthy rich at a single glance, so how could she possibly be interested in the lads here? A group of elderly ladies was sitting by the neighborhood entrance, shooting the breeze. Among them was Chloe, and she was also very curious to know who exactly the person in the car was waiting for. However, when she spotted Jared exiting the neighborhood and getting into the car, she was wholly stumped. Chloe, that's Gary's son, Jared, no. So, he has gotten himself a rich girlfriend. I remember that he's quite close to your daughter, Hilda. What's going on here? Young people nowadays are always materialistic, the few elderly ladies gossiped among themselves while Chloe rushed home to ask her daughter what exactly had happened. After Jared had gotten into Josephine's car, they went all the way to the suburbs in Horrington according to the location Walter had given them. The area was undeveloped, so single-story houses predominated, and the roads were rather bumpy as well. More than an hour later, they finally arrived at their destination. By then, Walter was already waiting there. As Jared swept his gaze around, he couldn't quite believe that Walter had a good friend at such a place, considering his identity. Mr. Chance. Walter went up to Jared and greeted him courteously right away. Beside Walter stood a similarly elderly man with graying hair at his temples. However, his aura and dressing were as different as night and day from Walter. This is Mr. Chance whom I spoke of, Kieran. His medical skills are unparalleled, Walter murmured to the elderly man beside him. As soon as Kieran Snyder saw Jared, he froze with disbelief written all over his face. In his mind, he pictured a professor or expert over 70 years old, since Walter had revered the person so greatly to the point of addressing him as Mr. and lauding his medical skills. Thus, he never expected Jared to be so young, a mere kid to someone of his age. Kieran, Kieran. Walter called out to the man who had fallen into a trance. Jolting back to his senses, Kieran quickly extended his dry and wrinkled hand, saying to Jared, "Oh, sorry. Nice to meet you, Mr. Chance." Jared shook his hand and inclined his head a fraction in greeting. Kieran's wife is in the house, Mr. Chance. Please look her over. While Walter spoke, Kieran walked ahead and led the way. Walter walked alongside Jared and explained his relationship with Kieran. It turned out that they were childhood friends, and Walter had also used to live in a single-story house in the area when he was young. Of course, that was decades ago. He had left after attending school and had slowly gone into politics. In time, he rarely contacted his old friends anymore. After he had retired and returned to Horrington once more, he got in touch with his old friends. He then wanted to help Kieran move from the suburbs and buy him a house in the city, but Kieran was reluctant to leave. Hence, he relented. The two of them often chatted over tea. While Kiran led a humble life, he found it very fulfilling and had never asked Walter for anything. However, a few days ago, he had suddenly sought the man out and implored him to help find a skilled doctor to treat his wife. Chapter 172. Walter was well respected and had vast connections, so it would be a piece of cake for him to find a skilled doctor. However, Walter immediately surmised that Kiran's wife wasn't simply sick after hearing about her condition. For that reason, he went to Jared. Soon, they arrived at a courtyard with Kiran leading the way. The courtyard was exceedingly small, housing only three brick rooms, while a corner was dedicated to rearing chickens and ducks. An unpleasant stench hung in the air. The moment they stepped into the courtyard, Josephine's brows furrowed slightly. She clapped a hand over her nose and mouth, repulsed by the malodor, as she seldom visited such a place. Conversely, Jared wasn't perturbed, as he had lived in a village for more than 10 years before moving to the city with his mother. No sooner had they entered the house than the shrieks of a woman from the room on their left drifted into their ears. Her voice was shrill and sounded particularly terrifying. I'm going to kill you all. I'm going to execute the lot of you. I'm now the queen, and I want to sentence you all to death. Her screams and wails scared Josephine so much that she went as pale as a sheet. She clutched at Jared's sleeve, regretting her decision to come with him. Kiran then opened the room door on the left, revealing an elderly woman in her 60s with white hair and a wrinkled face screeching madly right then. There was nothing in the room save a single bed. The second the elderly woman saw someone entering the room, she leaped onto the bed. "Who are the lot of you? How dare you barge into my palace? I'm going to have you all arrested," she bellowed with widened eyes. "I found someone to look you over, darling. Please stop kicking up a fuss." Kiran went over to soothe his wife. Unexpectedly, the elderly woman darted forward and bit him hard before sprinting over to the corner. "Oh, well," Kiran heaved a helpless sigh at that turn of events. "How long has your wife been in such a condition? And does she remain mentally unstable all the time?" Jared asked Kiran. "It's been 7 or 8 days now. She's not mentally unstable all the time, but the times she's cognizant are growing increasingly far between," Kiran answered with anxiety etched on his face. "I heard from Mr. Grange that this condition of your wife started after you both returned from a trip to the cemetery," Jared continued inquiring. Kiran nodded in affirmation. "That's right. My wife said that she missed our son a few days ago, so I brought her to the cemetery for a visit. Alas, she started acting up that night. Kiran's son passed away some years ago from an accident, Mr. Chance," Walter hastily explained to Jared. As Jared looked at Kiran and his wife, a wealth of sympathy filled him. "Ah, losing a child at old age is the most tragic thing ever. Did anything strange happen after the two of you went to the cemetery?" he questioned. Kiran pondered for a moment before shaking his head. "No, everything was quite normal. Nothing happened." "Mr. Chance, could it be that Kiran's wife is possessed?" Walter asked in a whisper. "Let me check her over before drawing any conclusions." After saying that, Jared took out a cloth pouch with rows of silver needles arranged neatly. He swiftly whipped out a silver needle and headed toward the elderly woman in the corner. Seeing that, Kiran hurriedly blocked his path. "You've got to be careful so that my wife doesn't hurt you. She doesn't recognize anyone now. Don't worry. I'll be fine." Jared flashed him a smile. When he reached the elderly woman, she rushed at him without warning and opened her mouth to bite him. Jared promptly inserted the silver needle in his hand into her neck, causing her to freeze before falling back onto the bed with a thud. At that sight, Kiran dashed over and shook his wife vigorously. When she remained motionless, he panicked and roared at Jared, "What did you do to my wife? Is she dead?" Chapter 173. Poisoning. Kiran grew very emotional and was seemingly a moment away from getting physical with Jared. Upon seeing that, Walter instantly zipped forward and held him back. "Kiran. Mr. Chance is here to treat your wife. What are you doing? Don't worry, for your wife is just unconscious. She'll be fine." Having said that, Jared sat on the bed and placed a hand on the elderly woman's pulse. On the heels of that, a burst of pure spiritual energy left his body and streamed into hers. If she were possessed, his spiritual energy would undoubtedly be able to force the spirit out. Regretfully, no matter how much he increased the flow of his spiritual energy, she remained still without the slightest reaction. At that, Jared frowned slightly. Could it be that I made a mistake? In the beginning, he had thought that she was possessed by a malicious spirit, and he only needed to force it out before absorbing it into himself. However, it seemed that she wasn't possessed, after all. "Mr. Chance," Walter called out softly when nothing happened after a long while, and he noticed something off about Jared's expression. At that moment, Josephine mustered her courage and went up behind Jared. Despite her fear, she was still curious and wanted to see how exactly a spirit looked like. A long time passed without anything transpiring, and the atmosphere in the entire room turned a tad awkward. Jared slowly retracted his hand, sweat beading on his forehead. He had used too much spiritual energy earlier, so he was a touch enervated. "She's not suffering from hysteria, so I'll check for other causes." After saying that, he picked up a silver needle and gently inserted it into the elderly woman's wrist. Then he slowly twisted it. Soon, almost the entire needle was embedded in her wrist. A moment later, he took it out, only to see a drop of black blood beating at her wrist. Everyone was shocked when they saw that her blood was black. That went doubly for Kiran. He wore a worried expression and seemingly wanted to speak, yet he was afraid that he would break Jared's concentration. "What's going on here, Mr. Chance?" Walter was also baffled, since it made no sense that an ordinary person would have black blood. "This is a symptom of poisoning. From the look of things, that's the cause of her mental disorder, leading to her being of unsound mind," Jared explained. "Poisoning." Walter was startled. Turning to Kiran, he queried, "What did your wife eat before she started acting up, Kiran? How did she get poisoned?" With a frown marring his countenance, Kiran mulled it over before shaking his head. "She didn't eat anything. She just had a simple meal after returning from the cemetery. I ate the same thing as well, so why am I fine? Walter didn't know what to say to that, so he shifted his gaze to Jared. Recall carefully whether your wife ate or drank anything after going to the cemetery, including wild fruits and herbs. Or did she touch anything at all? Jared questioned Kieran solemnly. And no, she didn't touch anything. Despite Kieran's denial, he averted his gaze when answering and dared not look the man in the eye. Noticing his shifty expression, Jared knew that he was definitely lying. Since the man wasn't willing to speak the truth, he couldn't do anything to help despite sympathizing with them. In that case, please accept my apologies. This is beyond my capabilities. He put the silver needles away and got ready to leave. At that turn of events, Kieran started panicking. Meanwhile, Walter could also tell that Kieran was seemingly hiding something, so he snapped, "Kieran, I got Mr. Chance here to treat your wife, yet you're unwilling to be candid with us? Do you want your wife to die?" Kieran had a conflicted look on his face while he stared at his wife on the bed. At long last, he gritted his teeth and admitted, "We indeed found something at the cemetery, and my wife brought it home." Chapter 174. Meet Reishi Mushroom. What was it? Walter and Jared asked in unison. It was a Reishi mushroom. It was gigantic and resembled a Reishi mushroom, yet a bit different from the usual ones. My wife was convinced that it would fetch a high price, so she brought it home, Kieran confessed with embarrassment written all over his face. Where is it? Let me have a look at it, Jared ordered. Nodding, Kieran left the room. Shortly after, he came back in with a huge glass bottle in his hands. Indeed, something that resembled a Reishi mushroom lay in the glass bottle. However, it didn't at all appear to be a plant. This is no Reishi mushroom. It's clearly a piece of rotten meat. When Josephine saw the item in the glass bottle, she almost hurled. This isn't rotten meat. It's indeed a plant that grows on the ground, but it appears like meat. While saying that, Kieran opened the glass bottle and took it out. Watch out, Kieran. It might be poisonous. Walter promptly cried out upon noticing that Kieran was planning to take it out with his bare hands. It's fine. I've already touched it back then, so I would have been poisoned long ago if it's really poisonous. Kieran wasn't at all afraid, blithely taking out the item resembling a Reishi mushroom. In that case, your wife can't possibly have been poisoned by it either, Walter said. Since he's fine after holding it, his wife couldn't possibly have been poisoned in the same manner. Having skin contact with it is fine, but taking a bite out of it will result in the person being poisoned. As Jared spoke, he took the item resembling a Reishi mushroom from Kieran and turned it over in his hands gently. Subsequently, he glimpsed a tiny portion missing at the bottom, making it abundantly clear that someone had taken a bite out of it. When Kieran saw that tiny missing portion, surprise inundated him. I told her not to simply eat it when its exact nature is yet uncertain. I never thought that she'd actually take a bite out of it furtively. If I'd known, I wouldn't have allowed her to put it away. Stark regret flooded him, and he kept thumping his chest. Don't blame yourself anymore, Kieran. I'm sure Mr. Chance can treat your wife. Stopping the man from inflicting harm upon himself, Walter looked at Jared and inquired, "What exactly is it, Mr. Chance? It doesn't look like a reishi mushroom." Jared took the item back from Kieran and squeezed it gently, upon which it seemingly twitched as though having sensed something. "This is known as the aconite or meat reishi mushroom. It grows at places where the geomancy is at extreme ends and nature is imbalanced. Although this is also a type of plant, it has eyes like an animal and is able to see the world. It has different names as its eyes increase in number. When it has all five senses, it becomes an aconite mushroom. It's exceedingly rare, since it's usually plucked by mistake or eaten by animals when it's in its infancy stage. Very few make it to maturity." Jared then continued explaining in detail, "It's very poisonous and absorbs its nutrients from decaying meat in the soil, so it has a high propensity of growing in the cemetery. Your wife is lucky that she only took a small bite. Otherwise, no one will be able to save her. Despite its rarity, it doesn't have much medicinal value. If you had made it into a medicinal wine, the person who drank it would have probably died on the spot." Kieran trembled in fright after hearing that. "Fortunately, I hadn't any time to make it into a medicinal wine since my wife took ill. Otherwise, I would have been doomed as well. So, is there any cure for Kieran's wife, Mr. Chance?" Walter asked in a murmur. "Yes." Jared nodded and returned the meat reishi mushroom to Kieran. Then he took out his silver needles and inserted them into Kieran's wife at lightning speed. A while later, Kieran's wife regained consciousness and coughed up a mouthful of black blood. Chapter 175. Eternally grateful. With a wave of his hand, Jared retrieved all the silver needles and placed them back in the cloth pouch. "All is good now. She'll be right as rain after resting for a few days," Jared said to Kieran. "Darling, darling." Kieran hurriedly called out to his wife. The elderly woman slowly opened her eyes. When she saw the crowd in the room, she murmured in bewilderment, "Why are there so many people here, Kieran?" "Oh, don't worry about it. They're here to treat you. You're fine now, so just rest," Kieran urged in euphoria when he had ascertained that his wife had truly recovered. Jared and the others left the room quietly and went to the courtyard. When Kieran came out, he dropped to his knees before Jared right away. Jared was stunned for a moment, but he swiftly reached out and pulled the man up without allowing the latter's knees to touch the ground. "You're truly my family's savior. I thank you for your kindness. We don't have much money, so I really don't know how I should repay you," Kieran kept thanking him incessantly. He was skeptical in the beginning, but he was then eternally grateful to Jared. "Mr. Chance isn't here for money, so you don't need to do this, Kieran," Walter advised. "If it were because of money, he wouldn't be here." "True, true. He isn't hurting for money at all." Kieran nodded fervently. After all, he had seen Jared and Josephine arriving in a luxurious car, so Jared couldn't possibly be strapped for cash. "Let me get you a few chickens and ducks instead so that you can have a feast later, Mr. Chance. I rear them myself, and they're all well taken care of." While saying that, he made to go and catch a few chickens and ducks for Jared. At that, Jared quickly stopped him from doing so, asserting, "Don't be such a stranger with me, Mr. Snyder." If you really want to thank me, do you mind giving me the meat reishi mushroom? I don't mind paying for it. Hearing that, Kiran was stumped and regarded the man with a look of puzzlement. Didn't you say that it has no medicinal value and is poisonous instead, Mr. Chance? Why do you want it? Indeed, it's of no use to the average person. However, I need it for my training. It so happened that Jared could use it in his training. In fact, he believed that he would improve by leaps and bounds if he absorbed the essence of the meat reishi mushroom. Since it's of use to you, just take it, Mr. Chance. I'm going to dump it anyway, as I don't dare keep it at home anymore. Without an ounce of hesitation, Kiran handed the meat reishi mushroom in his hand to Jared. Jared wanted to pay for it, but Kiran staunchly declined and refused to take his money. After leaving Kiran's house, Josephine lamented in disappointment, "I initially thought that I'd get to see some novel things, but there was nothing at all." At the sight of her crestfallen expression, Jared chuckled softly. "There aren't that many ghosts and spirits in this world. Anyway, just don't pass out in fright if you do have the opportunity to see them. That won't happen with you protecting me." Josephine beamed at him. After dropping Jared off, Josephine sped off. And no sooner had the former gone upstairs did Hilda slowly come out from behind a gigantic tree in the courtyard in the neighborhood. She stared at the man's back, a riot of emotions brewing within her. She had been secretly waiting there for him, wanting to see who exactly the woman was. However, she didn't get to do so, since it was too dark, and Josephine didn't alight from the car. "Let's go home, sweetie. If he really chose to date the rich girl, that's his choice," Chloe murmured, patting her daughter gently on the shoulder. "Yeah." Hilda nodded, but tears shimmered in her eyes. When Jared arrived home, he went to bed early. It was Saturday the following day, so he was planning to make a trip to Dragon Bay. The spiritual energy there was more bountiful, and there was no one to disrupt him. Therefore, it was the perfect opportunity for him to absorb the essence of the meat reishi mushroom. Chapter 176. To look more imposing. At the same time, Leighton was sitting across from Felix with his injured arm in a cast in the general manager's office in Vintage Restaurant. "So, why did you have someone contact me, Mr. Scott?" Felix questioned while pouring Leighton a cup of tea personally. The Scott family was considered a wealthy family in Horrington. While the Crimson Dragon gang wasn't afraid of the Scott family, the affluent families were money trees, so he knew that Leighton was there to give him money. "I've heard that your capabilities are outstanding, and I can see today that it's indeed true, Mr. Lawson. Considering your muscular build, even three or five burly men aren't your match." Leighton complimented endlessly. "Ha ha, you don't have to flatter me, Mr. Scott. Just speak freely about whatever matter it is. If it's within my capability, I'll definitely do my best to assist you." Felix boomed while guffawing. "Honestly speaking, Mr. Lawson, I've got an enemy. I'd like to ask you for some men to assist me in my bid for revenge. I'll reward you with 10 million after the matter has been settled. Here's 5 million as a deposit." While saying that, Leighton slipped a bank card over to Felix. "Ha ha. As expected of a wealthy heir. How generous. Felix was a tad surprised that Leighton was offering 10 million right off the bat. However, he abruptly put away his smile after a few barks of laughter. Staring at Leighton solemnly, he remarked, "I know that Tommy Lewis owes the Scott family a favor. Why didn't you go to him for this matter? Besides, the Scott family employs quite a number of bodyguards, no? Why would you come and seek the Crimson Dragon Gang out instead? The Crimson Dragon Gang and Templar Regiment have always been at odds. Aren't you taking the hard way by abandoning Templar Regiment and coming to the Crimson Dragon Gang?" He knew a bit of backstory between the Scott family and Tommy, since it was no secret. "Humph. Don't mention that, ungrateful wretch. If it weren't for the Scott family, he would have died on the streets long ago. Now, however, he has become the Sullivan family's dog and has long since cut off all ties with the Scott family." Leighton snarled furiously at the mention of Tommy. He then explained, "As for the bodyguards of the Scott family, I can't mobilize any single one of them. They only obey my father's orders, and he thinks that I'm still recuperating in the hospital right now. Ha ha, I got it now." Felix nodded in understanding. Subsequently, he added, "Indeed, Tommy has gotten quite close with the Sullivan family recently. Anyway, don't tell me that your enemy is the son of some official. If so, I've got to warn you that the Crimson Dragon Gang always stays on their good side. Don't worry, Mr. Lawson. It's just an ordinary person who knows some martial arts. He's no son of an official or the like." Leighton hastily shook his head. "Great. I'll have Adrian lead a dozen men and seek you out tomorrow, Mr. Scott. You can decide however you'd like to deal with your enemy," Felix stated mildly. "Is it possible to send more men, Mr. Lawson?" Leighton queried uneasily upon hearing that Felix was only planning to send a dozen men over. After all, Jared was too powerful, and Leighton had personally witnessed Jared defeating several people within seconds. "Why? How powerful is that enemy of yours that even a dozen men aren't enough?" Felix was slightly taken aback at that request. "No, no, he isn't all that powerful. I just want to bring more men so that it'll look more imposing." Leighton kept the truth to himself, not daring to tell Felix that Jared was extraordinarily skilled for fear that Felix would back out or demand more money. "All right, then. Since you said as much, Mr. Scott, I'll send 30 men over for a show of strength. I hope we'll have more opportunities to work together in the future." Lumbering to his feet, Felix shook hands with him. "I thank you in advance then, Mr. Lawson," Leighton exclaimed exuberantly. After leaving Vintage Restaurant, Leighton got back into his car. Sandy was waiting for him in the car. "How did it go, Lay?" Sandy asked urgently. "Humph. Just wait and see how Jared is going to kneel before us and beg for mercy tomorrow. I'm going to crush him under my feet and have him know my might." Leighton crowed triumphantly, his eyes glinting coldly. Chapter 177. House Viewing. Early the following morning, Jared went to his mansion at Dragon Bay with the meat reishi mushroom in hand after informing his parents that he was going out. At that very moment, Zane, Maria, and Lydia were arguing with the security guard at the entrance of Dragon Bay. "Why are you forbidding us from entering?" We're here to buy a house. Is this how you treat your clients? Maria bellowed at the security guard. She was initially in a good mood when she came to take a look at the houses in Dragon Bay. When the commission was approved, she would have enough for the down payment for a place there. While she couldn't afford a mansion on the hill, she could apply for a loan and purchase one at the foot of the hill. Unexpectedly, the security guard refused to let them in when they arrived. That had her flipping her lid. If you want to buy a house, you can go to the sales gallery next door. Entry is prohibited before you're a property owner, the security guard replied indifferently. How are we to buy a house if we don't go in and view the property? Maria continued contending. If you want to have a viewing, you can have a sales representative bring you in. You can't enter alone. That's our policy here. The security guard remained rooted at the entrance, blocking them from entering the neighborhood. Forget about it, Maria. Let's go to the sales gallery first and have the sales representative bring us in, Zane urged as he tugged at Maria. Although he was likewise miffed, he didn't dare kick up a fuss there, since they were in Dragon Bay, the best neighborhood in the whole of Horrington. All who lived there were big shots, so he dared not make a scene when he was just an insignificant department manager. Following that, Maria could only shoot the security guard a glare and threaten. Just you wait. When I become a property owner here, I'll have the management sack you. They then left and went to the sales gallery. Meanwhile, the security guard sneered, "How ridiculous. She really thinks that she's some bigwig." Mere moments after they had left, Jared arrived in his car, the second-hand Ford. When the security guards spotted the car from afar, one of them immediately waved and signaled Jared to stop. They had been working at Dragon Bay for quite some time, but they had never seen any of the property owners there driving a Ford. Jared brought the car to a stop, and a security guard trotted over to ask him about the purpose of his visit. The moment Jared rolled down his car window, however, the security guard fell into a trance upon catching a glimpse of Jared. A long while passed before the guard gathered his wits about him. "Oh, it's you, Mr. Chance. I'm really sorry about this." Jared had been living at the mansion at the top of the mountain back then, and that was the most expensive mansion in the whole of Dragon Bay. For that reason, all the security guards recognized him. "It's okay." Jared flashed him a faint smile. In no time, the security guard waved a hand. "Hurry up and open the gate. It's Mr. Chance." Upon hearing that it was Jared, the security guard at the entrance hurriedly opened the gate. When Jared drove past, all the guards promptly saluted him. But just when he was about to enter the gate, a red Maserati darted in front of his car, wanting to cut him off and get into the neighborhood ahead of him. Having insufficient time to brake, he rear-ended the Maserati. That turn of events rendered the few security guards dumbfounded. Never had they expected a car to zip over all of a sudden and cause an accident. As the accident happened at the entrance of the neighborhood, they were also considered partially responsible. Therefore, they all glowered at the red Maserati. "Do you even know how to drive? How dare you ram into my car when you're just driving a shabby Ford? Do you know how much my car costs?" A woman with sunglasses and a fashionable straw hat on her head started cursing at Jared after getting out of the car. She was infuriated when she saw that her beloved car took a hit. Chapter 178. I will bankrupt you. Jared had initially wanted to settle the matter peacefully, even though it was the other party's fault for overtaking his car at the gate of a neighborhood. However, he didn't expect her to lay into him right after she got out of the car. That had his temper spiking at once. You were the one who abruptly dashed in front of my car. So, why are you blaming me for hitting your car? Jared demanded. Why? Well, you shouldn't have blocked my path when you're only driving a rickety Ford. Is this a place for someone like you? The woman eyed him with contempt before she roared at the security guards, Are the lot of you doing your job? How could you allow such a car into the neighborhood? This is just too embarrassing for the neighborhood and the property owners. The few security guards merely looked at the arrogant woman, not daring to riposte her despite the fury blazing within them. They were only security guards at the end of the day, so they couldn't afford to offend her. At the woman's haughty demeanor, Jared was seized by the urge to step forward and slap her. Remembering that he was in a rush to train, however, he didn't want to waste his time there. Thus, he snapped, Name your figure. How much do you want? I don't have the time to bicker with you here. When the woman noticed his impatience, she immediately raised her voice several decibels and proclaimed, Do you know how much my car costs? It costs over $2 million. I won't be able to repair the damage from your hit without $100,000 to $200,000. You wouldn't be able to compensate me even if you were to give me your car. Cut the crap and just name your price. Jared's brows knitted together. How dare you say that? Do you believe that I'll? While saying that, the woman raised her hand to strike Jared across the face. However, Jared caught her hand and slapped her hard instead. The woman's sunglasses went flying, and even the straw hat on her head fell off. That had her freezing for a moment. Never in her wildest dreams had she ever expected Jared to have the guts to get physical with her. How dare he make a move against me when he's just driving a Ford? Great, just great. How dare you hit me, kid? I swear by all that's holy that I'm going to kill you today. As she screeched, she whipped out her phone and made a call. The security guards inwardly rejoiced when Jared struck the woman, but they were also aware that the matter had gotten serious when things had turned physical. One of them quickly rushed away to get the property manager. After making her call, the woman glared at Jared hotly. Just you wait, kid. My husband will be coming to kill you in a while. I don't have time to waste with you here. If you don't move your car, I'm going to plow into it. Jared didn't want to continue arguing with her. He hadn't been training regularly these few days, so he wished to make the most of his time. You dare plow into my car? Go ahead if you have the guts to do so. Just see whether I'll bankrupt you, the woman challenged. She didn't believe that he truly dared to do so. My car is a luxurious car worth a few million, so he can't possibly afford to pay the compensation. Seeing her obstinacy, Jared knew that it was no use speaking further. Hence, he got into his car and geared up to ram into the Maserati ahead. But at just that precise moment, Zane and the others were brought in by a sales representative to view the property. Jared! Maria exclaimed in astonishment the second she caught sight of the man. After all, not anyone could be there. People who had neither wealth nor influence like Jared seldom visited such a place, so she wondered why he was there. When Jared saw that it was Maria, Zane, and Lydia, he casually inquired, "Why are you guys here? You're asking us that? Shouldn't it be the other way round? We're here to buy a house. Why are you here?" Zane regarded him with utter disdain before glancing at his car that had collided with the Maserati ahead. All at once, he gloatingly commented, "Jared, your driving skills are really lacking. How did you crash into the car ahead? Was it because you were trying to barge in behind the car?" Chapter 179. Not all that bad. It was also then that Lydia noticed Jared had hit another car with his, and it was a Maserati at that. She instantly exclaimed, "You've hit the jackpot, Jared. You could have rammed into any car, but it just had to be a Maserati. This car costs a few million, so I'm afraid that your car insurance probably can't cover it. That's no concern of yours, so please keep out of it. It's my own business," Jared asserted coldly. "Jared, let me tell you this. The company will never agree to a salary advance. Why did you have to roam around in a shabby car? I'm afraid that you're going to go bankrupt this time." The corners of Zane's mouth turned up, and undisguised jubilance showed on his face. "What exactly happened here, Jared? You're truly in hot water now." Maria chided Jared with a frown. "It's no big deal. It's just a paltry car crash, isn't it?" Jared smirked, for it didn't even register as a blip on his radar. "A paltry car crash? Please open your eyes wide and look at the car you hit. This is a Maserati that costs a few million, you know." Lydia sneered. "Jared, I'd advise you to ride a motorbike instead. You're not suited to drive a car. You hit a Maserati today, but you might hit a Porsche tomorrow. If that happens, you won't be able to afford the compensation even if you were to auction yourself off." Zane earnestly persuaded Jared, but his eyes radiated scorn. Meanwhile, the woman at the side was all the more convinced that Jared was merely a deadbeat with no connections whatsoever upon seeing Zane and the others mocking him. Thus, she shouted, "Weren't you as bold as brass, saying that you want to plow into my car, kid? Go ahead if you dare." She kept challenging and provoking him endlessly. Not in the mood to yak with her, Jared got into his car to ram into the Maserati. Seeing that, Maria grabbed him. "Have you lost your mind, Jared? Get out. Do you know how much the car costs? If you were to hit it impulsively, you wouldn't be able to afford the compensation even if you were to empty your savings and sell your house off." She initially didn't want to bother about him, but she couldn't stand idly by when it was such a grave issue of crashing into a Maserati. "He'll have to pay a ton in compensation, and if he can't afford it, he'll just come to my family and ask for a loan." "Just let him be, Maria. Isn't he all high and mighty? Let him ram into it. If he can't afford to pay the compensation, he can go to prison. It's not like he hasn't been to prison before." Zane wore a frosty expression on his face, chagrined that she stopped Jared from acting. If he were to really crash into it, he'd have to pay a couple million in compensation. That's no joke. Even if Jared's family were to sell off their house, they wouldn't be able to fork out that much money. What's going to happen to his parents then? Maria snapped, shooting him a glare. Indeed, she detested Jared and didn't really like his family either, for she felt that they were deliberately clinging to her rich family just to obtain some benefits. Nonetheless, that didn't mean that she wanted them to end up destitute and homeless. If he acts impulsively and plows into the car for real, his entire family will be doomed. At the sight of her staunch defense of Jared, Zane was filled with fury. Meanwhile, Jared cast Maria a glance, and his impression of her improved significantly. It looks like she's not all that bad. At that exact moment, two vans sped over. A dozen menacing-looking men then climbed out with batons in their hands. Darling. The woman trotted over to the man in sportswear and coquettishly griped, "Darling, someone hit me just now. Look at my face." After scrutinizing her face, the man flew into a rage. With a glacial expression, he demanded, "Who hit my wife? Step out right now." Chapter 180. I hit her. Without the slightest hesitation, Jared took two steps forward. I hit her. The man sized him up before glancing at Zane and the others behind him. He then barked, "Kid, I might spare you if you fall to your knees and apologize to my wife right now. Otherwise, none of you are going to escape today." The moment Zane heard that and realized that the man had assumed they were with Jared, he was petrified and hurriedly waved his hand in denial, explaining, "Sir, sir. You misunderstood. We're not with him. Although we're acquainted, we have no idea what he did." Hearing that, the man shifted his gaze to his wife. The woman nodded and affirmed, "It was just that kid. Not only did he ram into my car, but he even slapped me. Kid, we'll settle the issue of the car separately. Since you slapped my wife, you might still escape with your life if you were to kneel right away." The man stared at Jared with murderous intent. In response, Jared chuckled softly. "The lot of you love having others kneeling at your feet, huh? But let me tell you something. I don't kneel to anyone other than my parents. Besides, you all aren't worthy of it either." "What did you just say, kid?" The man thundered in a towering rage after being stunned for a moment. He couldn't quite believe that Jared actually dared to say such a thing despite facing so many people alone. "Are you insane, Jared? You're courting death," Maria reproached in a shout. Conversely, Zane scoffed with a smirk, "Just drop the act now that things have come to this, Jared. Even if you were to get on your knees, we wouldn't laugh at you, much less tell anyone in the office." "Exactly. We'll never do such a thing, so just do it. Otherwise, you'll still end up on your knees after having been beaten up later," Lydia echoed sneeringly. "Since you both like kneeling so much, you two do it instead," Jared said to Zane and Lydia. "Humph. Go on acting all high and mighty. We'll just see who has to drop to his knees and beg for mercy later." Zane snorted. When the man saw that Jared was obstinate and refused to kneel, his expression went chilly. "You've got quite the backbone, kid. However, you're unlucky to bump into me today. No matter how dogged you are, I'll have you singing a different tune later." After saying that, he ordered with a wave of his hand, "Cripple him." In a flash, the dozen men charged toward Jared. Terrified at that sight, Zane and the others hastily backed away. While Maria was anxious, she couldn't do anything right then. "Stop!" A roar sounded before the property manager in a suit frantically rushed over with several security guards. "What's the meaning of this, Mr. Ziegler? Are you stopping me from making a move?" the man demanded with disgruntlement written all over his face when he saw the property manager, Mark Ziegler. "Why don't you do me a favor and forget about the incident today, Mr. Daniels?" "I'll take care of all your losses," Mark urged with a fawning smile. It seemed that they were acquainted, but that wasn't surprising, since one was a property owner and the other was the property manager. "Have you gotten your wires crossed today, or is this kid your relative, Mr. Ziegler? Why are you imploring me on his behalf?" the man, Toby Daniels, demanded with a mystified look. Mark glanced at Jared before leaning close to the man's ear and whispering, "You might not know this, Mr. Daniels, but Mr. Chance lives at the mansion at the top of the hill, and he has been living there for some time." Toby was taken aback to hear that. "Doesn't that mansion belong to the Sullivan family?" Mark nodded in affirmation. "Yes. Therefore, he's definitely associated with the Sullivan family, since he's living there." Toby sized Jared up again before sneering with disbelief in his eyes, "I don't believe that he's acquainted with the Sullivan family. A pauper like him can't possibly have anything to do with the Sullivan family. How could that be when he's driving a shabby Ford?" "Stop trying to fool me, Mr. Ziegler. I'm sorry, but I won't be able to do you a favor today." He didn't believe that in the least. Considering his cheap dressing and rickety Ford, how could he possibly be acquainted with the Sullivan family?